Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. We have those again that are visiting with us. Pretty much though, those that are visiting with us are really home folk. They just happen to live other places now, but we're glad that they're here. And we're glad to see again some of those that have not been able to be out with us for a few weeks that are able to be out with us this morning and this evening as well. So we're glad that you're here as well. This evening, we're going to continue a study that we started back a couple of months ago. If you recall, we had started a study where we started talking about the home. And we said that the home was designed by God. And when we started the whole concept of looking at the home, we wanted to make sure that everyone understood that the home was something that God started from the very beginning such that man could enjoy it. It was designed to be a place that could be happy for both man and woman. And that in order for that place to be somewhere where you could be happy, where joy could be found, that it had to be built upon certain principles, certain foundations. And those foundations were the idea of the husband and the wife being committed to one another. That there was the leaving of all others and a commitment to each other, along with a commitment to God. And that commitment, what that brought along with it was the idea of being able to trust one another. That if you're going to live a life together, a complete life together, from that point forward till death do you part, you had to be able to trust one another. And all the areas and aspects of life that you were going to be dealing with one another, there had to be complete trust. We also talked about the idea of respecting one another, having respect for one another, and treating one another with respect. And that includes not only the things that you do, but the way that you talk to one another. And in every part of life, you need to show respect for one another. And then finally, we said there's no doubt that in order for the home to be a place where joy is found, there had to be love. And that love was not necessarily just a love in terms of the emotions, but more importantly, the love of being able to search out for what was best for one another and always do what was best. We went on from there to talk about the responsibilities and the roles and the duties of the man, the duties of the husband in the home. And we talked about how he was supposed to be the leader of the family. We said not only was he supposed to lead the family, he was supposed to make decisions for the family. He was supposed to be the one that would communicate the decisions for the family. And so he has a role that God gave to him that required a lot of effort, that required him to stand up and be a man, as we kind of talked about before. To what God needed was a few good men in the home. And those men were dedicated to serving him and dedicated to serving their families. Well, this evening, we're going to take the time to look at the other aspect. And that is the roles, the responsibilities, the duties of the woman in the house. The duties of the wife. Now, once again, I want you to note as we begin our lesson that I'm not going to be turning to some of the latest and greatest ideas that come from the marriage counselors of this age. I'm not going to be turning to some of the great social philosophers of this age and telling you exactly what people nowadays are saying that you should do and what you should be. Rather, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the original designer. We're going to look at what God has to say about the matter. Because God has the final say-so. He is the one who created both man and woman. He is the one who created the relationship between husband and wife. And so, therefore, he knows best for what we need to be in this life. And so as we look to it, understand that we're looking to the Bible, to God's Word, so that we can understand what God designed as the role, as the responsibilities, as the duties of the wife. We're going to start with probably the one that is the most controversial in our day and time. And that is the idea of submission. When you think about submission, though, what you really need to start with is looking at the concept that God has designed a specific order for the home. He has designed a specific order for the home. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning now in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I want to read one more passage before we say anything else, and that's found over in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul says there, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." What we need to understand here as we begin this study on submission is that God has designed all relationships, really, in such a way that there has to be submission. In order for the home to work properly, God has said that we must be willing to submit to someone else. The husbands are not the head of everything. Rather, the husbands submit themselves to the Lord. They submit themselves to the will of God. The wives submit themselves first to the Lord, and then they submit themselves to their husbands. The children of the home, they submit themselves first to the Lord, and then also to the parents. In every person of the house, in every person of the home, we must be willing to submit ourselves to someone else. So what does the idea of submission really mean? Well, submission, as it's used in the Bible, is often very misunderstood. They don't really understand the concept of where the word comes from and what it means. The word itself comes from a Greek word, and if you want to know the spelling of it, let me know and I'll give it to you. It comes from a Greek word that really comes in a military kind of a concept, and it means to rank under. To rank under. Therefore, it indicates an order, a chain of command that God has set up, that God has placed in order for this particular relationship to function properly. He has said that this person is going to have this role and this responsibility. This person is going to have this role, so forth and so on. Submission, I want you to pay attention to this, because I didn't really think about it much until I think I was doing this lesson. Submission is very important, especially when the people are of the same value. If everyone is of the same value, in order for that relationship to work properly, someone has to submit. So the concept of submission is especially important when everybody is equal in God's sight. Well, I'm going to skip forward just a little bit and tell you that men and women are equal in God's sight. We are all souls. We are all His children. But the idea of submission in this relationship is very important because we are equal in God's sight. So submission doesn't have anything to say with regard to your ability. It doesn't have anything to say with regard to your value, to your intellectual capacity, or any of that other kinds of things. All it talks about is what is your role, what is your function, what is your responsibility. That's what submission has to do with. And so the idea of the woman, the wife, submitting to the husband just simply means that she understands that God has given her a certain role, a certain responsibility, a certain duty inside that relationship. There are many other applications in the Bible, other relationships, where God talks about the idea of submission. Think about it. All of us have to be in submission to God. Over in the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Submit. Put yourself under. How about your employer? Does God talk about the relationship of Christians inside a employee-employer type relationship? Well, he did talk about the idea of being in submission, slaves or servants being in submission to their masters. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and down around verse 18. Or I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 18. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. I want you to notice, he goes on to say, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Did you see there that he didn't specify that you only be, you know, subject or be in submission to those who are good? He says the attitude that you need to have is to both to those who are good and to those who are unjust. But you be submissive to them. It's a similar relationship that we would have to our employers. Be in submission to them. How about the idea of the government? In that same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Does anyone think that the people who rule over us in our government, that they are better than us? Is it that they're all a whole lot smarter than we are? No, they're not. Some of them may be. Some of them may not be in terms of being smarter than we are. But we submit to their rule in order for this relationship that we have as a nation for them to govern and to rule over us. Otherwise, it's chaos. How about the relationship inside the church with elders? What does he tell us to do? He tells us the younger are to submit to the elders, right? He says that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. And verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submission to each other. That's what we just went on to read, right? Submission, then, is crucial. It is at the very foundation of the kind of attitude that we need to have as people in order to be servants of God. Those of us, if we tend to be proud, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Those who are willing to submit themselves to others, whether it be to the government, whether it be to the elders, whether it be to one another, whatever it is, we need to have an idea and a characteristic, an attitude of submitting to one another. And so that idea, that concept just goes on into the family where he says, wives, be subject to your husbands. Submission. There are a lot of misunderstandings associated with that. We've already kind of mentioned some of that. The first one, and the biggest one, is it says that if you're submissive to someone else, then that means you're inferior to them. Well, that's just ludicrous. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that way. I want to read to you real quickly something that was written. Now, this was written, and I don't condone synods. I don't condone creeds. I don't, you know, any of that. We have the Bible, and that's all that we need. But this is something that was written in the Southern Baptist Convention back in 1998. They wrote, a wife is to submit herself graciously to the servant leadership of her husband, even as the church willingly submits to the headship of Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because it agrees with exactly with what Paul said here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? But I want you to notice what someone who read that and who is a Baptist, someone that you may know, former President Jimmy Carter, in reading this, he said this, as you may or may not know, the Southern Baptist Convention back now about 13 years ago in Orlando voted that women were inferior and had to be subservient to their husbands. And he goes on and goes on and goes on. There was nothing in that passage that said anything about being inferior. There's nothing in the book of Ephesians that says anything that says that the woman is inferior. Remember, we've already talked about that. Submission has nothing to do with your value, has nothing to do with your ability, capabilities. It has to do with position, duties, role. Just like it says nothing about a private versus a general. They have different roles, different functions, but their capabilities may be exactly the same. There's a great misunderstanding that says in our society that if the wife is submissive to the husband, then that means she admits that she's inferior. That's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. The other misconception is that submission is just an outdated, antiquated old fogey kind of an idea, and that that's just not right for those of us who are progressive now. We're way beyond that concept anymore. Well, they feel that requiring women to be in submission to their husbands is basically like telling them they have to be slaves. This stems from a misunderstanding, a gross misunderstanding, of what God's Word has to say. Because God's plan for man, and when I say man there, I mean mankind, humans, has been the same from the very beginning. And God is not a respecter of persons, Acts 10, verse 35. He sees all of us the same. Men, women, people of different nationalities, people of different social ranks. It doesn't matter to Him. What matters to Him is that you're a soul and He sent His Son to die for you. And so what matters to Him is whether or not we're obedient to Him. And being obedient to Him, and by the way, obedience and submission is very, very similar to one another if you haven't noticed. Obedience and submission. Obedience is hearing something and being willing to submit yourselves to do it. Right? That's really what it is. God does not play favorites. And so the idea that submission is outdated, no, it's not. We all still need to be submissive to God and to His plan. So, in the home, what does it mean? What is the practical application of it then in the home when it says that wives are to be subject or to be in submission to their husbands? Well, the short version of all of it is that it means that the man is the leader of the family and that the man is responsible for making the decisions for the family and that the wife supports the husband in that decision-making process and supports the husband when a decision is made such that they are one unit. They're not divided. They are one. Now, in saying that, it should be obvious to us, having studied the qualities of a good husband, that the husband is going to look out for what's best for the wife in making those decisions. Right? Because he is to love the wife as Christ does the church. Well, what did Christ do for the church? He died for it. What was best for the church? He made decisions that was best for the church. And so as husbands, we're going to be communicating with our wives to understand what they feel about a particular matter. Living with them in understanding, right? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And they're going to see things about this particular problem or issue or opportunity or whatever it is that you're making the decision on. They're going to see things in a way that's different from you. And it behooves us, to use an old-fashioned word, it behooves us to listen to them and to take into consideration what they think. But then the woman is going to submit to the decision that's made as what's best for the family and support. That's the simple version of what that really means. So what are the qualities? What are the characteristics of a woman that will allow her to be submissive to the husband in that relationship? Well, there's a lot of them, but I'm just going to mention two. The first is her fear and reverence for God. Her fear and her reverence for God. Why would a woman, any woman, be willing to submit herself to a man in that relationship? Why would a woman, especially in a position where she was married to someone who is not a Christian, someone who is not living the way that they're supposed to, why would she be willing to submit herself to him? And the answer is simply because she respects God. And she is willing to do whatever God commands of her. And God said, be submissive. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. The wise man says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And you see, what happens is this woman who fears, who reveres, who respects God, who wants to do what's right in God's sight, will then learn to respect her husband in the same way. Because notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. That she respects him. This fear, this, again, reverence, this respect for God will lead to a respect for the one that she has chosen to marry. And that relationship that God has designed. The second characteristic that will allow her to be submissive is that of having a meek and quiet spirit. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, again, he says in verse 1, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even as some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Now, he's talking to women who have husbands that are not Christians. He goes on to say, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle," or some translations say meek, "and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Meek, gentle. Brother Ricky talked about meek this morning in our class. And he said, meekness is strength under control. Meekness is the concept of men and women both understanding that God knows what's best for us and that we are willing to do what God says, even though in reality He has given us the right to reject it. But we understand that what God says is best, and we do what He says. A meek and quiet spirit. Do you realize that He requires that of all Christians? What was it that Jesus talked about over in the Beatitudes? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed, happy are the meek. Notice also, before we move on to the next part of that, He said, those that are meek, the women that have a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Don't think that God doesn't see women who have the right spirit and who are acting and following His commands, that God doesn't see that and recognize that. They're precious in God's sight. So, submission. There's one other thing, just so that you know I don't have five or six more points. Submission was one. The other concept that we need to understand of what God determined, what God designed as the role or the function of the woman and the wife in this relationship is found over in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." The King James translation says, "I will make him an helpmeet for him." One thing I should say, and I want you to pay close attention to this, is that God, when He designed a woman, He designed her of such beauty, He designed her of such value, that He underscores it in the Bible. And when I say underscores it, if you don't know what that means, kids, that means underlined it. He emphasized it. God emphasizes the value of women. You see, most people think that the Bible talks about women and it puts them down, but He doesn't. Rather, He looks at what women can bring to the relationship. Because when He looked at man, when man was there and man was brought all the beasts of the field, when Adam was brought up and He gave them names, you know what He looked down and He said, "There's no one for man." And God said, "It's not good for man to be alone." And so what did He do? He made woman. The only thing that would make that situation good in His sight was to make woman. Does that not bring value? Is that not of great value? She was the only thing that could make that situation for Him where He lacks something good. So what does it mean that she is a helper or a helpmeet? Well, the word help means to aid, to assist, to support. the idea of meat there would be something that is suitable for. So if you put the two together, it says that the woman was specifically, uniquely designed to provide what was lacking in man. Man could not accomplish. Man could not do everything that God wanted him to do by himself. He's incapable. Right? So if you want to look at it that way, man wasn't everything that God wanted him to be yet. And the only way he could be what he wanted him to be was to make woman. And the two of them together in that relationship, then he said, now they're capable. They're able to do what I designed them to do. Capable of fulfilling everything that God wants from us. So what is it that the wife perfectly supplies? What is it that she perfectly supplies? Only she can provide these things in that relationship. Well, some of them are very obvious. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. I shouldn't have to go any further than that, really, than to say that without man and woman together, we can't fulfill that. It's obvious. But that was something that God said from the very beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. Man alone couldn't do it. It required woman. Man and women, men and women, in a husband-wife relationship together is what God designed that for. There's another one. Companionship. Human beings, despite the arguments of men at times, are social beings. We require social interaction. He has placed within us a desire to have some kind of sharing with other people, some more than others. But all of us require and want some sharing with other people. This is another reason why God looked down upon man and said, it's not good that he's alone. Because you see, none of the animals could take care of all the needs that Adam had to celebrate the joys, to feel in the pain. You see, we say that dog is a man's best friend. He's not. He's not. Pets can't take that interaction that we need with people. They can't fulfill that. Not in the way that people can. And so companionship is something that is needed by man. God's intention from the very beginning then was for man and woman to become one unit. This one unit was to operate in such a way to fulfill various needs, including this social and personal interaction of companionship. I want you to notice one of the reasons why God was upset with the children of Israel in the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 2, God through the prophet said this, and this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. He wouldn't look upon their sacrifices anymore with favor. But you say, why does he not do that? They couldn't understand, why does he not accept our offerings, our sacrifices? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by your covenant, or by the covenant. She is your companion, the one who is beside you, the one who shares with you. He says, because you've broken that covenant and you've left that wife and you followed after other women and other gods, you would no longer accept their sacrifices. But God designed women to be the suitable partner in that relationship. And one thing, by the way, we need to be aware of, wives, husbands, we need to make sure we make time for companionship. It's easy not to do that. I know that. It's easy to get up early in the morning, go to work, come back home from work late in the afternoon, tired, grumpy, and all those kinds of things. You get in, you eat, you got homework, you got this, you got this. It's time to go to bed. And you know what you did? You didn't even talk. You didn't have any kind of social interaction at all. Right? We need to have social interaction. We need the companionship. We need that support from one another. We need it from them. They need it from us. Don't forget it. Plan for it. Make time for it. I'm bad about that. I admit that. I know I'm bad about that. But I can improve. And all of us should make sure that we're thinking about that and making time for that. Which leads us to our next one, because it's very closely associated with it. And that is, woman was perfectly designed as a helpmate, as a helpmeet for affection. Over in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, in talking about what the older women should teach the younger women, he said that they should teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Excuse me. Now, typically we look at that and say, well, he's talking about looking out what's best for them, doing what's best for them. In this case, that's not the word that's used. The word there that's used to love their husbands is phileo, which is affection. The women, the young women, are to be taught to show affection for their husbands. Why? Why would they need to be taught that, number one? And I can answer that one, because sometimes we're a little unlovable, right? But the other is, why would they need to do that? Why would they need to show us love, affection? Well, it's because we need it. A man's self-esteem, one man said, is important and needs to be bolstered by expressions of love. Men, do you want to be admired? All of us would say yes. Just in case you don't know, all of us would say yes. Do we want to be, or to feel that we're worth something? Again, yeah. Do we yearn to be told that by other people? Yeah, it's nice to be told that by other people. It's really nice to go to work and your boss say, I appreciate you. You do a good job. You know, without you, it'd be more difficult to work around here. That'd be great, right? That's nice to hear. It's nice to hear from your friends and your loved ones. You know what? We appreciate you. It's great to have you around. But in reality, the one that we long for it the most is our wives. We want to feel loved. We want to feel the affection of our wife. And if we have that love and we have that affection from our wife, guess what? We can live without it from our boss. We can live without it from our friends. We can't live without it from our wives. It's just that simple. Because they know us the best and they live with us. And if we can't conjure up that affection from them, we feel like we have no worth. So women, it's important for you to understand. You want to know your value? You take away the affection, and the value of man goes to almost nothing. One man told his daughter before she was being married. He told her. He said, you can keep him loving you forever if you learn 1,000 different ways to tell him he's wonderful. Learn 1,000 different ways to tell him he's wonderful. You'll never lose him. Affection. Women only were designed to fulfill the sexual relationship. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one. Now that concept of becoming one has more in mind than just the physical relationship, but make no doubt, it includes the physical relationship. God has put within us a desire, a physical desire, and that can only be lawfully and appropriately fulfilled in the marriage relationship with a woman, a man and a woman. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Final one. The woman was perfectly designed, uniquely designed to be a keeper at home. There are two passages that talk about this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, it says, besides that, he's talking about younger widows. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I have younger widows, marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. The other one is found in Titus chapter 2 again. And talking about what the older women were to train the younger women to do, he says, train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, pure workers at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This whole concept of being workers at home, keepers at home, is a concept that, again, most in our society are trying to say is so outdated. But God designed the woman to be the one that can manage the household. She is the one, that is her area of expertise. She was designed that way. Women, you are designed that way. There is no way for the man to fulfill that role. I mean, think about it. All of us guys who've had children that were really small in the past, do you know where every child goes to when they need something? They go to mama. Every time. Right? The only exception is if they're really, really scared and daddy's bigger. And that's the only reason. Right? For everything else, they know what they want. If they want love and affection, who do they go to? Mama. If they want to be fed something good, where do they go to? Mama. She is uniquely designed to do that. Don't demean the idea of being a worker and a keeper at home. Without you, the home goes away. It's not what it's supposed to be if she's not there keeping it. So it's more really than, it's not a maid. That's not what it's talking about. It's not just a cook. It's more than that. She is the manager, the guide, or the ruler of the house. Not the relationship, the house. She controls the activities of the house. She controls the atmosphere and the environment of the house. Believe it. It's true. And so you have a grave responsibility to make sure that you're doing it in a way that not only helps and supports the husband, but in a way that pleases God. It's important. Very important. I read a lot of things. Some of the things, Brother Wayne gave me a packet of information, and a lot of those things, and it had a lot of interesting stories and anecdotes and whatever else you want to call those kinds of things. And a lot of them talked about demeaning the value of a housewife. That's what it was called there in some of those cases, right? Like the guy that would go around and talk, the census guy that would go around and say, you know, what did you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And they said, well, she's just a housewife. And they listed out all the things that just a housewife does. And what it is what makes a home a home. You are the keepers at home, and you are uniquely designed to be that. Accept that role, accept that responsibility, and glorify God by doing as much as you can in it. Don't demean it. Don't ignore it. Women, you have a role. You have a function, a duty inside the relationship. And your value is just as much as the man's. It's just a different role. Men, women, husband, wives, working together in working together, doing the things that God tells us to in the way that He tells us to, we can have a happy home. But when we go away from His plan, things fall apart. If you're here this evening and you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this lesson was not designed to do that. But I hope that you've heard the gospel plan before. If you haven't, we'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about it. But God requires that you believe that Jesus is His Son and that He sent His Son to die for you. Believing in that, you're willing to repent of your sins and turn away from the things that you're doing that are wrong. That you're willing to confess His name before men and be baptized into the body of Christ, where you find all spiritual blessings, including the forgiveness of sins. If you've done that already and now you're not living the way that you're supposed to, and you need the help and the prayers of the brethren here, we'd be glad to assist you in that. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.